Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, greetings. It is a real privilege to be able to come into your home or automobile on this Thursday, November 22, which is a national observance of Thanksgiving. I'm glad we still have a day like that, even though there are many people who seem to do backflips to find a way to celebrate it without acknowledging who it is we're giving thanks to, as if we're somehow just being grateful without having any particular object of our gratitude. But of course we know that this day was originally initiated by people who openly, publicly proclaimed their thanksgiving to God Almighty, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and gave him thanks for safety and for provision and for protection and for bringing in a suitable harvest. And all who acknowledge the God of heaven surely ought to openly and publicly give him thanks and not be ashamed to do so. And I'm grateful that we still have that privilege in the United States of America. And though I know that because of holiday schedules, many who normally would be listening to this broadcast today probably are not, and many who maybe are not able to listen to this broadcast normally are today. Nevertheless, I'm going to continue where I left off yesterday, even though I know that we don't have a normal audience listening. And what we're looking at is the divinely inspired interpretation of Joel's prophecy given to us in Acts chapter 2, when Peter on the day of Pentecost linked the prophecy in Joel chapter 2 to the events that took place in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And you may recall, and I'll read this because I know many of you are not are listening today who are not regular listeners and did not hear this yesterday and the day before. But in Joel chapter 2, you have this prophecy, and I'm reading it from Acts 2, but it's essentially the same. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." All right, there's Joel's prophecy. And as I mentioned on the broadcast yesterday, or maybe the day before, it's common for some interpreters to come to Joel's prophecy and say, this is a prophecy about end time events at the second coming of Christ. This has to do with what will take place before Christ returns in judgment. And it has to do primarily with the Jews, with Israel, and what is going to happen to them in those days, how believing Jews are going to prophesy and see visions again, like happened in Old Testament days, and God's wrath is going to fall upon the world, and a remnant of Israel who call upon the name of the Lord are going to be saved in those days. And that's exactly the way Joel's prophecy is interpreted by many fine Bible-believing people, because that's the most literal and obvious way to understand those words, and so it would seem to them. But to interpret it that way is to totally ignore, and through, I trust, what is ignorance rather than deliberate audaciousness, to contradict the divinely inspired interpretation given by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2, who says, this is not referring to the second coming of Christ. This is referring to the resurrection and ascension of Christ, who promised to pour his Spirit out upon his church when he ascended back to heaven. That's exactly what he promised his apostles. And this is what has taken place in Acts chapter 2. And this is what Joel said would happen. This is what Joel's prophecy is talking about. I'm reading again Acts chapter 2:14. But Peter, standing up at the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, these Christians who were speaking in tongues. These are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Quote, and it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, etc. Peter says, the Acts 2 events are the fulfillment of the prophecy in Joel chapter 2. And he quotes the verses so that we have no question. There can be no mistake about what part of Joel's prophecy he's talking about. So why would any Bible commentator, any theologian, any Bible student, in interpreting Joel chapter 2, interpret it to refer to the second coming of Christ, when Peter, inspired by the Spirit of God, clearly and plainly says it applies to the period less than 2 months after Christ died on the cross. It applies to this time, this day, Acts 2, day of Pentecost, pouring out of the Holy Spirit, people speaking in tongues. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Is that a hard phrase to understand? This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So often I'm reminded of billboards that I used to see along the highway, the interstate highway, a few years ago. I wish they were still up. I don't see them anymore. But I would occasionally see a big billboard, and I think it had a black background and white letters. It simply said, what is it about thou shalt not that you don't understand? Wow, that's a powerful message. That packs a wallop, a powerful punch. What is it about thou shalt not that you don't understand? That's not a hard billboard to interpret. You know exactly what the writer, the purchaser of that billboard space, is communicating. Well, I'm reminded of the same thing when I look at this. Peter says, these events on the day of Pentecost, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, what about that statement don't you understand? This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. These things that are taking place on the day of Pentecost. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. How do we know? If you look at Joel chapter 2, looks like things that take place at the second coming of Christ, by the way many people would interpret it. You see, we get a certain theological framework, a certain interpretive concept in mind. And so when we come to Joel chapter 2, those concepts come to mind and we interpret it in the light of that, consistent with what we believe to be true about eschatology, prophecy, the things that will happen in the last days. And that seems to fit right in, and so we say this is referring to the last days, but that's a blatant contradiction of what Peter said. Now, it just boils down to this. Do I believe an inspired apostle of Christ whose statement is recorded in Scripture and is therefore part of the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, or do I believe a Bible commentator who has a different viewpoint and interprets it entirely differently? Who am I supposed to believe? Well, that's not hard to figure out. If I believe in the infallibility, inerrancy, authority, and inspiration of Scripture, I have no choice. The choice is taken out of my hands. It's no longer a matter of which interpretation seems most logical and plausible to me. it's not like I'm looking at two different commentaries with different viewpoints, and I'm reading what each of the commentators says, and I'm trying to pick out which one seems to be most reasonable and accurate to me. We're not dealing with that situation. We're dealing with an inspired statement of an inspired author included in the inspired Holy Scriptures. When Peter says this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, it seems to me like that's the end of all discussion. No possibility of any other interpretation. This is it. I like the way the Old King James puts it, where they translate Peter to say, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that." That seems to carry more punch, but it's the same idea. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. What about that statement do you not understand? Now, you see, this is a hermeneutical principle. We're talking about this from Romans chapter 16, and the idea that New Testament scripture is more recent and is more illuminating than Old Testament scripture. The Old Testament scripture contained certain obscure statements, mysteries, as they're called in Romans chapter 16, that were not perspicuous, were not clear. But the New Testament scriptures bring the clarity. That's all by the design of God, and God tells us what He's done. He states it. He's not talking to us in riddles. He's not laying out puzzles for us to try to figure out for ourselves. He tells us, this is what I've done. Remember? Romans chapter 16. Let me go back to it again, because this is what launched us into this whole discussion. Romans 16:25. "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, that which was by the design of God a mystery, a hidden truth, hidden areas of knowledge from the beginning of the world, has now, with the coming of Christ and the New Testament scriptures, been made plain. We now can proclaim openly, clearly, plainly those things that used to be hidden." Now, I take that to mean that the New Testament scriptures are superior to the Old in the sense that they bring clarity to the truths that were by the very design of God and by the statements which God has given us were hidden, were concealed in the Old Testament. Therefore, to say that we can't interpret the Old Testament in the light of the new, because that means we don't believe in the perspicuity of Scripture. I heard someone say this, that the things that were written in the Old Testament had to be plain to the people who heard them, the people to whom they were originally spoken to, the people to whom the writings were originally written for and given to. If our interpretation demands New Testament light in order to understand them, then they weren't understandable to those people. And we don't believe in that, said this person. We believe in the perspicuity of Scripture. Well, we do believe in that because that's what the Bible says. The Bible tells us in several places that Old Testament authors and writers and people did not understand all that was written and waited the coming of Christ and the New Testament scriptures in order to be able to understand them. That's what the Bible says. We can't take an ideal such as the perspicuity of Scripture and let that override what the Scripture plainly says. And so until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.